Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Scott Jacobs Show. This is your co-host, Scott Jacobs. I think I was wanting to talk a little bit about Project Bluebeam. You know, this is going to be a new epidemic they're going to create. But, you know, I got a piece I want y'all to hear. I think it's very interesting.
There's a new video this morning that some say may be proof we're not alone in the universe. A UFO in the form of a bright light is seen descending over the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem. The video is said to be taken over the weekend. Then suddenly the light shoots up into the sky. There you see it. Another video from a different angle appears to show the light doing the same thing.
You can see this thing comes down over the through the valley and in the valley, and then it turns and it comes straight. So something traveling that fast, turning at that speed, that low, is just insane.
This seems potentially like one of the biggest stories of my lifetime. And I don't care if it's about UFOs or whatever you call it. Something we don't understand is getting very close to our military aircraft. The government isn't responding adequately, and I hope you keep sounding the alarm on this.
There's a whole cleanup of what's on the ASA. My God.
It's rotated.
I think it will take congressional hearings to get to the bottom of all this.
This is the next big thing that they want the public to be afraid of.
Yeah, they fired this electromagnetic weapon. They collided. Two went down near Roswell, and one was in Bounceville 1951 up in the northern New Mexico desert. Everyone wonders why this conservative Republican president named a five-star general Eisenhower said on his last speech to the nation as he left office, beware the military-industrial complex.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
He wasn't talking about his brethren in the military ranks.
No, he said a technological elite and controller.
We must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific, technological elite.
People don't realize that Eisenhower, on his watch, lost control of the technology transfer issue around ET spacecraft. They circled the wagons and cut him out. So that's where I get into the Majority Intelligence Committee, MAJIC. It's pronounced magic, ironically, or not ironically. And that is a blend of both corporate and government programs. And I've met with a number of them who are involved at that level. And they all have this agenda to want to control the world through one calamity after another. And the big one they've been planning is to host sort of an alien threat from outer space. You know, Wernher von Braun back in the 70s on his deathbed told a member of my team that there was a long-term agenda to hoax a threat from outer space so that sort of the uber global elite, who are really fascists, wanted to take over the planet and unite humanity, not in love and peace or spiritual development or anything nice, but around a fearsome sort of police state conditions. And then they would go through a number of protocols to do that. First, there would be, of course, the Cold War, which they would wind down, replace it with global terrorism, and then global financial chaos, and then the big one, which is the one that they're working on most, that's been very covert in these unacknowledged special access projects, is this hoaxed alien threat. All of this is basically a dress rehearsal for what's coming, and people need to wake up.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, if Project Bluebeam is real, like this video says, you know, what if that is the next pandemic that happens? You know, they've tried everything in the book. They went to all the way to a virus. They've seen the virus ain't working no more. So what's the next pandemic? Let's threaten the whole globe with the alien. So Project Blue Book means they're going to use aliens to pretty much scare the American citizens into doing what the government wants them to do, just like we did with this pandemic with the Corona 19 virus. You know, it's crazy how the world is getting. You know, I was reading that Bill Gates claims he warned Trump of pandemic risk in 2016. So Bill Gates is trying to claim that he warned about this in 2016. Okay. You know, why is Bill Gates even concerned with a virus pandemic? You know, he's a billionaire. He could do whatever he wants, but just like most rich people, they want to get their hands in, they want to get behind the scenes like everybody else, you know. The world is changing dramatically, guys. I say this all the time, but it really is. It really is starting to scare me a little bit how the world is going. The world's something different. But here's another piece of video I want y'all to hear.
And Tucker Carlson, in the first 10 minutes of his show, knocked it out of the park like never before seen. Now, viewers and listeners know that I've gotten sick of Russiagate. We proved years ago it was a hoax to delegitimize the election and try to overthrow our president. But now the chickens have come home to roost. Comey and the rest of the Democrat deep staters have been caught lying to Congress, leaking, trying to set up General Flynn, trying to set up the president and other supporters of America taking control of its own destiny again. But now that Obama is being implicated and that the hashtag Obamagate was number one on Twitter till they removed it, the chickens are coming home to roost. And the real nature of this third world style failed coup is coming out. So here is the first segment of Tucker Carlson tonight that blew it out of the water. This is the final nail in the coffin of that entire hoax to delegitimize not just Trump but the American people and to say that we're Russian dupes. And here's the key. Tucker then lays out how Obama and Hillary and Rice were protecting the communist Chinese, who they are literally in league with. So if you're traitors that have sold the country out to a rising power like communist China, you're going to then say that the American patriots trying to fix things are the traitors, so you're going to blame it again on the Russians. And that's what this has been about the whole time, about projection. And Tucker Carlson, who writes his own pieces, knocked it out of the park. So Carlson's not teleprompter free, but it is his own writing, and so this is his own thoughts, and it's dead on. Here it is, posted at band.video. Please re-upload it to Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, because this information is, again, a grand slam and is critical to we the people taking control of our country and our own destiny again. Here it is. Please share it.
On Inauguration Day 2017, it's likely that not one in 100,000 Americans was thinking about Russia. It was the last thing most people were thinking about. The Cold War had ended peacefully more than 25 years before. Moscow was no longer America's main strategic rival, as it had been for 50 years. Russia had been downgraded instead to the status of a regional power, consumed with disputes with obscure places like Ukraine. In the American media, there were more stories about Russian alcoholism than there were about Russian ICBMs. But in the White House in Washington that morning, Russia was very much the main topic. It was January 20th, the last day of the Obama administration. Outgoing National Security Advisor Susan Rice sat down at her desk to write her final memo. Rice described the presidential transition, which had been underway for months. Then she wrote this. During a meeting 2 weeks before, quote, President Obama said he wants to be sure that as we engage with the incoming team, we are mindful to ascertain if there is any reason we cannot share information fully as it relates to Russia. Now, Rice did not explain why Obama's staff felt it might not be possible to give intelligence on Russia to Donald Trump's staff, or for that matter, why the Obama people thought they had the right to withhold national security information from an incoming American president who had just won a national election. But Rice didn't need to elaborate. There was only one possible explanation for this. Donald Trump could very well be a Russian agent. Barack Obama himself said he believed that was possible. In Rice's words, quote, The president asked Jim Comey to inform him if anything changes in the next few weeks that should affect how we share classified information with the incoming team. Comey said he would. Now, what exactly does that mean? Here's what it means. The president of the United States turned to the head of the FBI, the most powerful law enforcement official in America, and said, continue to secretly investigate my chief political rival so that I can act against him. Comey's response, yes, sir. That's what Obama was saying, open. In any normal period in American history, this exchange would define Barack Obama forever. Obama would be known as the disgraced former president who used federal law enforcement to hurt his political enemies. That's what he did. Unfortunately, this is not a normal period. Already today, Obama's order that Comey investigate Donald Trump has been relegated to a little-known footnote. Joe Biden happened to be sitting in the room when this happened. Has Biden ever been asked about that? It's possible he never has been. Most media outlets have ignored the origins of the Russia conspiracy hoax completely. And as a result of that, Barack Obama's plan to derail his successor unfolded with very little opposition along the way, including from Republicans. The entire country, therefore, spent the first 3 years of the Trump administration hyperventilating about Russian collusion that did not exist. Susan Rice assiduously did her part to help it along. Here's Rice in July of 2017, a year and a half later, suggesting on network television that the president of the United States was indeed working for Vladimir Putin.
He's taken a series of steps that had Vladimir Putin dictated them, he couldn't have mirrored more effectively. What his motivations are, I think, is a legitimate question, one that I trust that the special counsel is investigating. But the policies that this president has pursued globally have served Vladimir Putin's interests in dividing the West, undermining democracy.
Does that mean you think it's an open question whether or not he's compromised by Russia?
George, I don't know what his motivations are. I think that's a legitimate question.
In fact, it was never a, quote, legitimate question. It was a reckless slur, the most reckless possible slur, the kind that damages a whole country along with a politician it's aimed at. Rice knew perfectly well there was no evidence at all that Donald Trump had ever worked for Russia. We know that she believed that because she admitted as much under oath in a closed-door hearing in Congress. As Rice explained to the House Intelligence Committee, the reason she was willing to accuse Trump officials of treason against their own country was that some of them seemed unduly worried about the rise of China. Here's what Susan Rice, for example, said about General Michael Flynn. Quote, General Flynn's focus was on China as our principal overarching adversary. He had many questions and concerns about China. And when I sought to elicit his perspective on Russia, he downplayed his assessment of Russia as a threat to the United States. He called it overblown. He said they're a declining power, they're demographically challenged, they're not really much of a threat, and then reemphasized the importance of China. I had seen enough at that point and heard enough to be a little bit sensitive to the question of the nature of General Flynn's engagements with the Russians. Did you follow that? Because Michael Flynn correctly described Russia as a declining power, and then went on to criticize Susan Rice's close friends in the Chinese government, Susan Rice concluded that General Flynn must be a Putin spy. This is idiotic, and it's crazy. It's hard to believe that Susan Rice was once National Security Advisor of the United States, but she was. Evelyn Farkas was once Barack Obama's Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense. Farkas repeatedly went on television to say there was ample evidence the Trump administration was colluding with Russia. And yet, like Susan Rice, Farkas said something completely different under oath before Congress. Quote, I didn't know anything, she admitted. Now, we quoted Evelyn Farkas saying that on this show on Friday. Farkas responded to us by claiming that we were, quote, missing some key facts. Now, originally, she agreed to come on tonight and explain what those key facts might be. She is running for Congress now in New York. Unfortunately, then, Evelyn Farkas backed out, but we fervently hope she comes back to tell us what those might be. We'd like to speak to Barack Obama, too. That's unlikely, so we'll have to settle for what he has told his friends. On Friday, Obama had a purportedly private call with supporters that, of course, was immediately leaked to the media. In it, the man who sicked law enforcement on his political rivals accused the current administration of undermining the rule of law.
That's the kind of stuff where you begin to get worried that basic not just institutional norms, but our basic understanding of rule of law is a risk.
Institutional norms. These people are nothing if not predictable. What you just heard, as always, was textbook projection. You see it again and again and again. What they accuse you of doing, they are eagerly doing themselves. The rule of law, yelps Obama. It's almost amusing. The press doesn't find it funny in the slightest. They see no irony at all. They repeat it verbatim with solemn faces. Over the weekend, Chuck Todd of NBC accused the Attorney General, Bill Barr, of gutting the rule of law, of ignoring it completely. And to prove that, Chuck Todd used what seemed to be quite a damning quote. Watch this. I want you to listen to this, Bill Barr, answer to a question about what will history say about this. Wait till you hear this answer. Take a listen.
When history looks back on this decision, how do you think it will be written?
Well, history is written by the winner, so it largely depends on who's writing the history.
I was struck, Peggy, by the cynicism of the answer. It's a correct answer, but he's the Attorney General. He didn't make the case that he was upholding the rule of law. Struck by the cynicism. Chuck Todd, who is married to a political consultant, was just struck by the cynicism. He could barely believe it. He was stunned. Bill Barr didn't even mention upholding the rule of law. Kind of a major omission for an Attorney General. But wait, it turns out that Bill Barr did mention the rule of law. It was at the center of his answer. Now, that was a CBS tape. NBC got a hold of it and edited out the words to distort Bill Barr's meaning. We have the real tape. Here it is.
When history looks back on this decision, how do you think it will be written?
Well, history is written by the winner, so it largely depends on who's writing the history. But I think a fair history would say it was a good decision because it upheld the rule of law.
Yeah. To be clear, Catherine Herridge did not edit that tape. She did a straightforward interview. NBC News edited the tape. Now, if you're shocked that a news network could be that openly and aggressively dishonest, so buffoonishly dishonest, then you haven't been paying very close attention for the past 4 years. They've been doing it since day one with the Russia hoax, and they don't plan to stop now.
President, in one of your Mother's Day tweets, you appear to accuse President Obama of the biggest political crime in American history by far. Those were your words. What crime exactly are you accusing President Obama of committing, and do you believe the Justice Department should prosecute him?
Obamagate. It's been going on for a long time. It's been going on from before I even got elected, and it's a disgrace that it happened. And if you look at what's gone on, and if you look at now all of this information that's being released, and from what I understand, that's only the beginning. Some terrible things happened, and it should never be allowed to happen in our country again. And you'll be seeing what's going on over the coming weeks. But I wish you'd write honestly about it, but unfortunately, you choose not to do so. Yeah, John, please.
What is the crime exactly that you're accusing him of?
You know what the crime is. The crime is very obvious to everybody. All you have to do is read the newspapers, except yours. John, please.
Don't act so surprised, globalist. You didn't think you could silence the American people, did you? Join Bandot Video, and I will complete your training. Together, we can overthrow the Emperor and restore the Republic.
It's crazy, ain't it, guys? The things you hear on the news today, it's just getting out there. You know, these are things that need to be addressed, you know. People just don't want to care to hear it anymore. And then when you try to give people the real news, you know, they run from you, they call you a conspiracy theorist, whatever, you know, just because they didn't see it in the media, you know, it ain't real. I just really don't understand how people function nowadays. It really blows my mind how people are. And people are crazy. They really are. You know, you could stick your neck out for anybody. You really could. But as soon as you do any more, this day and time, somebody will bite that neck up and use you for everything you got, you know. But that's the world we live in today, guys. I hate to say it, but everybody's out to use everybody. What can I get out of it, you know? It's what, me. That's what this world's became, me. And now since this COVID-19 disease has happened, you know, this 6 foot distance, social distancing thing, I think it's gonna stick around for a long while. Yeah, I don't think they're gonna do away with that. I really think we are getting ready to see times to be a little different, pal. You know, I'm just reading in a paper that Google is tracking everyone during the COVID-19 pandemic. You know, what if this is true? I mean, what if every time you go on Google, they are writing down your location just because you logged into Google and they know your location? I mean, your smartphones do a lot more than what they tell you. They're spying on you from what people say, you know. Like I said, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I just do random news. And things that strike my ears, you know, I want to put in my podcast and let people hear what I like, you know, what I hear. And I've noticed, you know, when I do my little videos on the side, my little shows that I play, you know, I get more listeners that way too. So I'm gonna start doing a little more of that. I'm gonna try to get more people to come on my show, and we could talk. You could hear more than one person talk on my show about different things that goes on, or random talks about whatever. We all feel like talking about, you know. But I would like to let everybody know that I give the good Lord up above everything for everything I've got. If it weren't for the Lord, I wouldn't have a good woman and a good home, good children, you know. The Lord bless me with the family I got today. So, I feel very blessed. So, this is the Richard Scott Jacobs Show. Please stay tuned for my next podcast. If there's anybody out there got comments, I'm on Facebook, the Scott Jacobs Show page. Come follow it, add it. I'm on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. I'm on a lot of podcasts. I'm on the Old Republic Podcast, Baker Podcast, Anchor Podcast. I'm on quite a bit, and I want to give a shout out to everybody in India that is listening to me. I've noticed that now people in India are getting my podcast all the way across the world. And that is so intriguing and so cool to know that I'm being stretched across the world. You know, my voice is starting to get heard out there a long ways. You know, I was reading the results yesterday of my podcast that I've done, and I seen there was a few percentage that's been listening to my podcast in India. I appreciate everybody in India that's listening. That's a shout out to y'all. I appreciate the support. and I'm up to 73 followers so far now, guys. My podcast is really starting to take off a little more. Things are starting to look up when it comes to it. I just gotta start doing better about making more podcasts. And now that I know I'm being stretched across the world and everybody's expecting my show, I like to get my show as far as China. I like for everybody here. It'd be kind of cool to just see the numbers start rolling in different countries that's heard my podcast. That right there would make me feel so good just to hear it, see that my word's getting to different countries. So as the new countries pop up that's heard my podcast, I will be shouting out to them countries. Just like India right now, I'm shouting out to y'all because thank y'all everybody in India for listening. I know I got a very boring voice and my podcast is wishy-washy, but I'm working on everybody. Just be patient with me, and good Lord Jesus is the only one that can help me through this. Thank you. Have a nice evening. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scott Jacobs Show. I was wanting to go over the vaccine a little bit and let you hear a piece that I found on a vaccine and judge it for yourself. But here it is. If it'll play, hold on.
Bill Gates says the only way to liberate the world from their self-quarantine is to be vaccinated.
The most urgent invention in the world right now is a vaccine that prevents you from getting COVID-19. It's going to have to go to 7 billion people. That's how we're going to end this pandemic.
President Trump has chosen a former executive of vaccine giant GlaxoSmithKline to run Operation Warp Speed, an operation to fast-track a vaccine for COVID-19. Trump has announced that he is mobilizing the U.S. military to deliver a coronavirus vaccine when it's ready.
I think we're going to have a vaccine by the end of the year. We're doing very well with a vaccine. And I will tell you something. I just literally left a meeting. We're mobilizing our military and other forces, but we're mobilizing our military on the basis that we do have a vaccine. You know, it's a massive job to give this vaccine. Our military is now being mobilized. So at the end of the year, we're going to be able to give it to a lot of people very, very rapidly.
According to the Department of Defense, they will have enough vaccines for everyone in America. HR 6666 is setting up a national contact tracer army.
We need a national core of healthy people who are properly trying to go out and do this contact tracing.
911, what's your emergency?
Hi, yeah. I got a couple handshakers right in front of me.
Okay, sir, are they still in the vicinity?
Yeah, I'm staring at them right now.
Bill Gates is given a platform in communist China to defend himself.
I'd say it's ironic if you take somebody who's doing their best to get the world ready and, you know, putting, in my case, billions of dollars into these tools for infectious diseases. We're in a crazy situation, so there's going to be crazy rumors.
Former intelligence officer Jack Posobiec defends Bill Gates and encourages his Twitter followers to focus on China. And Senator Lindsey Graham repeats this sentiment as well. going so far as to say he would hire Bill Gates to run the WHO and double their funding.
I'm in charge of the appropriations over the WHO, at least a part of it. And what I want is see a change of leadership, because I think they conspired with China to downplay the nature of the virus. The WHO has great scientists, but it's lost confidence. I've lost confidence in the leadership. So a guy like Bill Gates, if Bill Gates was in charge of the WHO, I would double the funding, because I think we need a WHO, but he's not.
The vaccine they are planning to give everyone on Earth is an experimental mRNA vaccine that will alter our DNA forever. And if this experimental vaccine actually works, it will be the first ever in history to do so. Welcome to the New World Order.
And you pick the people to run those agencies and the deputies that are pledging allegiance to the New World Order and good governance.
For InfoWars.com, this is Greg Reese.
Ladies and gentlemen, what did y'all think about that? I mean, what if this stuff is real? What if stuff like this is happening? I mean, really, why is it such a concern to Bill Gates? I really would love to know. You know, I wish I was that man just so I knew what he was thinking. It's crazy how the world turns. It really is. You know, if I could go back in time, I wish I lived in a time where it was just swords and buggies. All you had to worry about was staying the hell alive, you know, provide for your family, all that. It wasn't like what it is today. But here's another piece on the vaccine.
In 1796, Edward Jenner extracted a small sample of an infected child's smallpox pustule and injected it into a young healthy boy. He then gave the boy a large dose of smallpox, and the boy remained healthy. Jenner concluded that the risky treatment had granted the child miraculous immunity. But that's how the immune system works already. So what granted the child immunity? His healthy immune system, or the injection of foreign infectious tissue? The science is not conclusive. Smallpox spread as a result of European colonization, and it slowed as herd immunity set in. This timeline coincides with the introduction of the smallpox vaccine. Was it the vaccine, or was it natural herd immunity? In some cases, the smallpox vaccine resulted in immunity. In others, it resulted in death. It also created smallpox outbreaks where there were none. The 1902 Biologics Control Act classified vaccines as biologics. This allowed the U.S. government a loophole to bypass stringent testing and fast-track vaccines. Ever since then, vaccines get approved once they produce antibodies. And to this day, the efficacy tests are done on the general population after the vaccines are distributed to the public. The Nazis were experimenting with vaccines on the German people, and the U.S. decreed this to be a war crime when they signed the Nuremberg Charter after the war. And yet, the practice of experimenting on the public with dangerous vaccines continues to grow in America. In April of 1955, known today as the Cutter Incident, more than 200,000 healthy children in the USA received a polio vaccine that resulted in 40,000 cases of polio, leaving 200 children with paralysis and killing 10. Today, the majority of polio is caused by the polio vaccine. By the 1980s, vaccine manufacturers were losing money due to the amount of lawsuits they were paying out to victims of death and disease caused by vaccines. It was well understood that negative reactions and fatality were unavoidable consequences of vaccines, and so they were given legal liability protection. In 1986, the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act was passed by Congress protect vaccine manufacturers from private lawsuits and to create a fund to compensate victims of vaccine damage and death. In legal theory, vaccines are recognized as being unavoidably unsafe. After the NCVIA passed, there was zero consequence to the vaccine manufacturers if their products killed or harmed the public. This created a gold rush for vaccine companies. A new vaccine accepted onto the CDC schedule is worth about $1 billion a year for the manufacturer. In the early 1980s, children received three vaccines. In the decades following the implementation of the NCVIA, the CDC has increased their childhood vaccine schedule to almost 6 dozen doses. During this same timeline, diseases began spiking, such as peanut allergies, asthma, eczema, and autism. But because these possible outcomes are listed on the manufacturer's insert, the vaccine companies can never be found liable. Studies have shown that the DTP vaccine is killing more people than the disease it was intended to prevent. But the vaccine companies are not liable. The four companies that produce the 72 scheduled vaccines, Merck, Pfizer, Sanofi Pasteur, and GlaxoSmithKline, are all convicted of felony crimes involving falsifying science and defrauding regulators, and killing hundreds of thousands of people. And yet, they continue to make billions off of selling their experimental mandatory vaccines. These same companies are also earning hundreds of billions of dollars by selling medications to treat all the emerging illnesses that have appeared since the increased vaccination schedule. The U.S. has some of the highest infant mortality rates in the world. Scientific studies have shown a direct correlation between infant mortality rates and the amount of vaccines mandated to children. The more doses mandated, the more children died. The United States ranks the highest for the amount of experimental doses of children's vaccines mandated to the public. And the third leading cause of death in America is due to medical errors. Is this science denial, or is this science? Starting in 2016, Bill Gates invested millions into vaccine manufacturer Moderna.
Bill Gates.
With zero profit and no significant clinical data, Moderna went public in 2018, valued at $7.5 billion. In late 2019, Moderna's stocks were falling by 30%. But was soon propped up by Anthony Fauci's NIH to develop a new experimental mRNA vaccine. Traditional vaccines are made up of small doses of a disease-causing organism introduced into the body to provoke an immune system response. mRNA vaccines trick the body into producing some of the vital proteins itself by rewriting the DNA inside a cell. They have never before been implemented. Even though the coronavirus is turning out to be less dangerous than the seasonal flu, the NIH is working with Bill Gates to vaccinate the entire global population with a new experimental type of vaccine that will rewrite our DNA. And no matter how dangerous it turns out to be, Big Pharma will only continue to thrive. For InfoWars.com, this is Greg Reese.
See, I'd be one of them ones that didn't get the vaccine. I'm not doing it. You know, they're going to force something that ain't safe onto me. I ain't never really believed in getting all the vaccines, you know. I got the ones that they made you get when you were a kid, but so far that's all the ones I've had. Because I really am trying to keep my body to where it can fight its own battles. I don't need a government fighting it for me, you know. But here's a piece on the truth agenda of the World Health.
Having always been accused by staunch American patriots of being a foreign enemy, the United Nations came into existence in October of 1945. And before they even broke ground for their headquarters, Zhiming Zhe, a delegate from the Republic of China, lobbied for the World Health Organization to be created under the auspices of the United Nations. The first director general of the WHO was G. Brock Chisholm, who wrote how parents teaching morality to their own children was a problem that should be remedied by a world government. In 1959, the WHO signed agreement WHA-12-40 with the International Atomic Energy Agency. The agreement between the two parties stated that whenever either organization proposes to initiate a program or activity on a subject in which the other organization has or may have a substantial interest, the first party shall consult the other with a view to adjusting the matter by mutual agreement. And as a result, we have seen the WHO remain silent throughout the Chernobyl incident as well as Fukushima. After serving as the director of health in Hong Kong during the 1997 H5N1 outbreak and the 2003 SARS outbreak, Margaret Chan was harshly criticized by the Hong Kong Legislative Council for not acting swiftly and for parroting mainland propaganda. She was then hired as director to the World Health Organization. In 2007, the WHO began partnering with vaccine manufacturers as well as the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And in 2009, Margaret Chan declared the H1N1 influenza virus a pandemic and fast-tracked vaccines as the ultimate solution to world health. The WHO came under international scrutiny for making vaccine manufacturers rich while falsely inflating public fear of viral outbreaks. It appeared as if the WHO was taking orders from Big Pharma and the Gates Foundation. In 2007, as the health minister of Ethiopia, Tedros Adhanom was accused of covering up three separate cholera epidemics. A week later, he was made director of the World Health Organization. In January of 2020, during the COVID-19 outbreak, Tedros praised China for their authoritarian reaction.
The Chinese government is to be congratulated for the extraordinary measures it has taken to contain the outbreak. China is actually setting a new standard for outbreak response, and it's not an exaggeration.
In February, he announced that there is no reason to restrict international travel.
There is no reason for measures that unnecessarily interfere with international travel and trade.
In March, he suggested that the entire world should imitate the extreme measures carried out in Wuhan.
Wuhan reported no new cases for the first time since the outbreak started. Wuhan provides hope for the rest of the world that even the most severe situation can be turned around.
The WHO has declared that they will need to forcibly remove family members from their homes.
In some senses, transmission has been taken off the streets and pushed back into family units. Now we need to go and look in families to find those people who may be sick and remove them and isolate them in a safe and dignified manner.
Assistant WHO Director Bruce Aylward recently demonstrated the WHO's unwavering loyalty to China when asked if the WHO would consider allowing Taiwan to be a member.
Would the WHO consider Taiwan's membership? Hello?
I couldn't hear your question.
Okay, yeah, let me repeat the question.
No, that's okay. Let's move to another one then.
If you are not beginning to realize the truth of who the World Health Organization really is, then you are not paying attention.
No one should think the government can wave a wand and all of a sudden, you know, the economy is anything like it was before this happened. That awaits either a miracle therapeutic that has an over 95% cure rate or broad usage of the vaccine.
For InfoWars.com, this is Greg Reese.
You know, stuff like this is endless. they do so much different things. It's hard to keep up with everything that the government deals with, you know. But what can you do about it? Nothing really. But live your American lives and go on amongst yourself or the people in India. I don't know how y'all's government is, but ours is a crazy thing. Crazy. All the politics and stuff. It's just crazy. I never in my life seen people sit and worry about politics like they do today. You know, it's getting so bad that people are starting to wake up and notice things, making them more interested in the news. But what can you do? This is the Scott Jacobs Show. I'm glad everybody tuned in, and I appreciate the ones that keep listening. Y'all are my supporters. Thank you. Y'all really come deep in my heart. I like all my followers. So, I'll try to get tomorrow and do my next show tomorrow. So, everybody have a nice evening.